Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Garden of Gethsemane is very ancient. Even today, you can see olive trees known to be over 1,000 years old. Those trees bore silent witness to the agony of Jesus as he faced his darkest hour. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series simply called For Us, Erwin Lutzer is helping us relive the events that marked the end of Jesus' life on earth. We're with Jesus in the garden as he takes on himself the sins of the world.
Jesus had no sin in him because he wasn't a sinner. But he did have sin laid on him. He was declared to be a sinner because our sin legally was transferred onto his shoulders, and he, as the Holy Son of God, came in contact with evil and with impurity and with our sin. I speak to you candidly. You and I have no idea what contact with sin meant to the sinless, spotless Son of God. You have no idea what it meant for Jesus Christ to be made sin and then break fellowship with his heavenly Father because of the iniquity that was laid upon his shoulders. And in those 3 hours of suffering, the first 3 hours on the cross, Jesus is suffering under the hands of men. The last 3 hours, he suffers under the hands of God. Think about this. In those 3 hours was condensed all of the wrath and all of the suffering that you and I would endure in an eternity of hell. Jesus absorbed it all in a 3 hour period when he drank that cup. You should not think that God is the vengeful God and Jesus is the wonderful member of the Trinity who's loving. Don't ever put the Trinity up against one another in that way. The Father also is loving. God loved the world that he gave, the Bible says. So the Father also loves. This was a plan that was arranged, the Bible teaches, before the worlds began. Before creation, God had a plan of redemption, and the plan was that the Son would pay to the Father the penalty of sin for those who trust Christ, and therefore, having done that, redemption would be accomplished for those who believe and receive it. This was the plan of God, and that was the cup. You and I cannot imagine it. We can talk about it, but it's difficult for us to understand it. So much for the sorrow of Jesus. Now, what about the plea of Jesus? Notice the text. Your Bible is open. You need to see this. Verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father. Abba is a term of endearment. Sometimes it's like daddy. It shows you the intimacy of Jesus and his Father. He says, Abba, Father. The fellowship is still there. The Father's presence still surrounds him. He still knows and has contact with the Father. And by the way, on the cross, he uses the word Father twice. The very first time when he says, Father, forgive them, and the very last time when he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. But during those moments when he became sin for us, he did not use the word Father. He cried out and said, Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the relationship with the Father had now been interrupted when he was made sin for us. But he comes now. The fellowship is still there. He says, Abba, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. And the Greek text would indicate that Jesus is expecting that if it is possible, the Father would do it. Was it possible? Well, looked at from the standpoint of power, of course it was possible. Jesus at any point could have called 12 legions of angels and they'd have come to deliver him. The Father could have taken Jesus right out of Gethsemane and taken him straight to heaven. Of course it was possible in the sense of God's strength. What made it impossible is that if that prayer had been answered in the sense that God says, okay, let's end it here, you and I would die in our sins and the whole plan of redemption would collapse. Because this was the only way. Jesus is saying, is there any other way? And the answer is no, there is no other way. It's not possible. And here you have evangelicals today wondering whether or not there is some other way, wondering whether or not some other teacher, some other guru might be able to save people. When clearly Jesus and the Father answered that question in Gethsemane, when Jesus realized that if it were possible, the Father would do it, but it wasn't possible and have us redeemed. So he said, not my will, but thine be done. And what Jesus was really saying here is that I am willing to submit. And that's the plea that Jesus gives. And now we come to the submission of the Son to the Father. Here we have a conflict of wills. Here we see Jesus most clearly in his humanity. He was both God and man, but sometimes we see his humanity very clearly. And this possibly is one of the clearest places in all the Bible where we can see his humanness. You'll notice he says, Father, if it is possible for you, remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Father, humanly, I don't want to do this. Humanly, I cannot even imagine what it is like for my holy nature to be in contact with sin directly and to be accused of having committed all those sins legally. Humanly, I can't grasp it. If there is some other way, do it. But not my will, but your will. You say, well, how can the will of the Son and the will of the Father be out of harmony? Well, in this particular instance, as you can see, Jesus in his humanness is asking that question, but it is exactly here that the will of the Son and the will of the Father come together in harmony when he says, not my will, but thine be done. My friend, doing the will of God often involves a conflict of desires. We live in a culture today that basically says, you know, you can follow God and kind of do whatever you like, and your desires somehow just fall in line. No, 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 no. There are times when our desires are in one direction, and the euphoria of following that direction is so powerful and overwhelming, but the will of the Father is greater, and what we must do is to be like Jesus, who simply said, not my will, but thine be done. And so Jesus goes through with that. What that meant is that once this battle in Gethsemane was over, from now on, everything would follow like dominoes, inevitably. It would all come together. When Jesus came through this experience, and he had to wake the disciples because they couldn't even watch with him for an hour, which, by the way, was the basis of a message I preached a few years ago, encouraging people to watch 1 hour a week with God. Isn't it true that we're just like the disciples? We forget and we sleep. But once Jesus made the decision, once this huge battle was over, once he heard from the Father, there is no other way, from now on, everything followed inevitably. Judas would betray him. He would have kangaroo courts, sham trials. He would be crucified. He would drink the cup. And it would all be accomplished as God willed. Like the words of the poet said, death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, is true for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. Jesus said, I'll drink the cup, and I won't drink half of it. I won't drink three quarters of it. I won't drink 95% of it. I will turn the cup upside down, and I shall drink every drop, so that sinners who deserve the judgment that I am experiencing can walk free because of what I have done. Redemption will be accomplished. Sinners will be redeemed. The purpose of God from all of eternity will not be thwarted, but will march forward to its triumphant conclusion. We look at this text and we say to ourselves, why should we be changed because of it? A couple of reasons. First of all, sometimes we have to do the will of God whether we feel like it or not. I've already implied that, haven't I? The fact is that the will of God isn't often the easiest path. We live in a society where, you know, you make the easy decision to take out all of the pain. If Jesus had done that, you and I would still be in our sins, and we'd be in our sins forever. There are times when you have to say no to your emotions.
This is Pastor Lutzer. Whenever I am in Israel and people ask me this question, what is your favorite place? I don't have to think about it. I immediately say, Gethsemane. I think of the agony that Jesus went through there, and then, of course, subsequently to that, the cross. But here's the point. It is there where he chose, and of course, it was predetermined that he would choose, but it was there that he chose to drink the cup. Not that Satan had given him, not that wicked hands had given him, but the cup which my Father has given me. Jesus accepted his own death as from the hands of the Father, despite the secondary causes of evil men and everything else that was involved, Judas, whom we shall speak about in a future message. Jesus, in the midst of this, saw him as giving himself to the Father's will regardless. I hope that you and I can say that today.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus is in Agony, the first message in a series he's calling For Us. Next time, final thoughts on the pain and sorrow Jesus bore for you and for me. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.